because in intention tapping, right, we really focus on like what is gripping me. What is gripping me and causing me to be nervous is because I have this expectation of how I should like behave or how I should talk in this podcast and how like this thing is going to be viewed by people, you know, all these kind of things. So that was this thing that is coding me. But if I release all this emotional attachment, it doesn't matter anymore. Yeah, I kind of like enjoy the process.
Hello and welcome to It's a Journey podcast. How are you healing today? Your host, Stephanie Naidu, welcomes guests from different parts of the globe with professional expertise in health and holistic wellness. Holistic means physical, emotional, social, and spiritual well-being. So what do all of our guests have in common? It's their dedication to help us with our healing journey and personal development. Let's dive into this new episode with our special guest and explore the answers in order to continue our personal journey's exploration towards healing and self-love.
Angel Eng is a practitioner committed to her own healing and growth. Her spiritual journey began with Buddhism and meditation in her early 20s. At the age of 40, she embarked on a journey of inner works and shamanic practices, a transformative process that unraveled the depth of self-exploration and belief reconstruction. As a certified Reiki and intention tapping practitioner, Angel draws from her personal experiences with inner work, Reiki, and intention tapping to inspire and support other women on their quest for truth and authenticity. Guided by the belief that there is no force more powerful than a woman committed to her own healing and power, Angel passionately walks alongside women, offering support and facilitation throughout their unique journeys. In this 23rd episode, my special guest Angel and I will explore intention tapping. Today's topic is release physical pain and emotional distress with intention tapping. Hello, Angel. It's such a pleasure to have you today on my podcast. It's a journey. Thank you so much for being here.
Hello, Stephanie. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
So we're going to start this interview by talking about you and your journey, especially your childhood, because this is what led you to what you do today. So please tell us how you began an energy healer, Reiki, and intention tapping practitioner, end of life doula, and author.
Wow, okay. So I have to go back to my childhood. I think by nature, I'm a very spiritual person since young. So I'm also very empathetic, sensitive, and intuitive. So my parents, they are Taoists and Buddhists. So I used to follow them to the temple. And I used to like talk to the Kuan Yin. Yeah. And my childhood has been quite, I would say, quite challenging. Yeah, so I think as a child, I suffered quite a lot, especially when I'm a very sensitive and empathetic person. Yeah, so I'm also very curious. Like, I question a lot about life. Like, I will ask, how come somebody is born, like, in a rich family and some in a poor family? Why do people suffer? And, like, why is somebody healthy and not healthy? So I question a lot of things since young. Yeah, so I think when I'm in my early teenage I actually read a lot about psychologists, and you know, like, I'm just curious about human, like what does their body language means. Yeah, so I think I came across Buddhism. So I think the teaching of like the noble truth and the noble eightfold path, yeah, all this actually resonate a lot with me, like kind of give me the answer to all my questions that I had at the moment. So actually I started my spiritual journey as a Buddhist. Yeah, so I do a lot of meditation, and I also went to many meditation retreats. Yeah, so I did many meditation retreat, prayers, like chanting. But what I realized was, after the years goes by, I didn't see that my anger get lesser. I didn't feel that I'm a happier person. And also, I feel like the void inside me doesn't seem to be better. Like, I think it kind of get worse, actually. It get like bigger and deeper. like, of course, after the meditation retreat, I have these blissful feelings, but after 1 or 2 months, like, I'm back to where I was before the retreat. Yeah. So it came to a point that I couldn't meditate anymore. Like, I couldn't sit, actually. Like, the moment I sit, like, I'm just so restless that I just have to stop. Yeah. And I think I remember that there was this retreat that I said, and then, like, there's a voice who asked me, like, why are you here? What are you doing here? Yeah. And that was the time that I start to ask myself, like, what was really my intention of doing all the meditation retreat? Like, am I really running away? Like, am I running away from myself? Yeah. And then in 2016, my mom was diagnosed with last stage breast cancer. And that was the time that I decided that I need some professional help. So that's also the time that I met my psychotherapist and my energy healer. Yeah, and that was also the time that I started to do inner works. Yeah. So I think you have done inner works before, so you know that it's all about, like, you know, we heal our inner child and, like, the early or the younger version of me, the different parts of me and the shadows, the golden and the dark shadows. So I think the inner works actually brought me back to myself. Like, I start to honor and embrace, like, the different parts of me and to make peace with the different parts of me. Instead of trying to run away from myself or to fight with myself, I kind of learn to understand, like, where, like, what are all these parts trying to tell me? And why are they there in the first place? Yeah. So it's not to cut off, like, the parts that I dislike about myself. Yeah. Or to, like, and to only just look at the positive or the good thing about myself. Yeah. So I think this part of my journey was actually very important. It's kind of like a turning point in my life where I eventually was able to sit with my own emotions. And also, I think, slowly break my belief about bad and good emotions. Because last time I feel that anger is no good and I keep on fighting with anger. I'm trying to, like, I try to, like, eradicate my anger. Like, I must be a very peaceful person. Yeah, but it's through inner works that I realized that anger was not my issue, actually. It was the pain inside me that I couldn't handle. And, like, but anger was easy because, like, it's so easy to get angry, right, for me. So actually, it was the pain that I couldn't manage, actually. So when I start to see my psychotherapist and do my inner works, right, it's like all these, I would say that the early meditation helped because it helped me to have the awareness. And with that, the inner works, right, it eventually bring me to face my pain and to go through the pain and to heal the pain. Because, like, I think we all know that to heal the pain, we need to feel it and then, like, to release it. You can never, like, heal from the pain by not looking at it. It's probably just under the carpet, actually. Yeah, so that was the time that I start to heal from my pain. And also because my mom was sick, yeah, and then I have to take care of her. And then subsequently, my dad also passed away in 2019. So my mom passed away in 2016 and my dad in 2019. So that was the time that I went through a lot of grief. Yeah, because you can see that the time is quite short. Like, when I was just about to recover from, like, losing my mom and then my father passed away. Yeah, so after my dad passed away, the grieving was really very strong because I lost both my parents. And grief is very powerful. I think she's also one of my very powerful teacher. Grief is messy and it's like, it's heavy. So it's like, I just have to surrender and, like, to go through the grief. Yeah. And what I feel, what happens to me was that I really feel that once I honor the grief and, like, you know, there's no way to escape or to, like, to push it away for myself because I don't want, I mean, of course I can push it away, but I refuse to do that because I know it's going to be very unhealthy for me. So I choose to go through the grief. Yeah. And what I see for myself was my heart really becomes softer. It's through the grieving process that my heart becomes softer and my heart actually opened up. Yeah. And the strange thing is the anger actually has subsided, actually. I still get angry. I mean, it's normal that we get, you know, there's healthy anger, but there's also, like, rage is not healthy. But what I observed was after the grieving process, and it's really strange that, like, the rage and that kind of anger that is, like, uncontrollable is actually no longer there. Yeah, but I still get angry if something's happened. It's healthy anger. Yeah, so I really feel that grief was actually a very important teacher in my life. It really brought me to like surrender. It's not like you just sometimes have to be on your knees and say, please have mercy, because it can be like just like a wave that is so strong and it can drown you, and your tears will just like flow. You know, you cannot do anything when that grief process comes actually. So I think that grieving process actually really helped me to soften my heart and open my heart. And it happened naturally, just through the process actually. But just by going through the grief process, it took me about maybe 2019 to now, maybe about 4 to 5 years. So after my parents passed away, I was also in a very tricky situation, because like, you know, like when they are not gone, they are like my main focus in life. And then once they are gone, like suddenly I'm like, what am I going to do now? Yeah, you know, like I'm single, I don't have partners. Suddenly my whole life was spotlighted. Like, you know, like the Zoom, I was spotlighted. Like it's all about me now, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Strangely, I have so many dreams. Like, but suddenly I was like, I don't have the energy to do anything, and I don't want to do anything. Yeah, so I actually have to allow myself to be in that space for about 4 or 5 years. It's quite challenging because a lot of chapter was also closing at that point of time, and like yeah. So, but I just have to give myself that space to really like and to trust actually. Yeah, I think to learn to trust and surrender. That was at the time. Yeah, and then that was also when I start to, in 2022, I met my coach who actually introduced intention tapping to me. So basically, she used intention tapping to help me. Yeah. So after I do my inner works for about 5 years, I actually, my psychotherapist and my energy healer kind of like graduated me. And they feel that it's enough. I also feel that it's enough. And I started to see life coaches and like different kind of coach. My intention is to, I need to connect the dots that's within me to the outside. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to link it out actually. Yeah, so I happened to come across my coach is Lisa. So I'm still working with her right now. So she used intention tapping on me and like it really works so amazing on me. Yeah, so, and then I think in last year, after I went to India, something shifted in me. I kind of feel that it's time for me to offer my service, like whatever that I have went through and whatever things that I have learned is actually a medicine, it's a really medicine for many people. Mm-hmm. So I thought I should put myself forward to offer, to service. Yeah, and that's when I feel that I need a skill. Like, I mean, like, I have a lot of things to share, but I need skills to help people. So I decided to learn intention tapping because it really helps a lot. And also, I think I met Danny, who is also my Reiki teacher. So from there, and Reiki also helped me a lot. So that's why I decided to offer like intention tapping and Reiki as my offering right now. And how I become an end of life doula is I'm drawn to the hospice, and I'm actually very moved by death in certain ways. I felt like the last journey for a person is so important and so vulnerable. And I think a lot of people have a lot of fear towards death, but I feel that to be able to be with a person who is about to pass on and to remind them of how precious their journey is so important. And also to honor their fear. Everybody is afraid to die actually. Yeah, and to be there to like to let them, allow them to talk about their fear and what are the things that they actually regret and what are the things they want to do before they pass on. I think it's so important actually. Mm-hmm. Just for a person to hold that space for a person who is at their last phase of their life. Sometimes it's really difficult for family members actually, but if I'm a neutral party, they can maybe tell me more. Yeah. So in 2020, where there's a COVID, I actually get a certificate as an end-of-life doula because it has always been something I wanted to do. So during COVID times, so I thought, okay, just do online. Yeah. So that's how I get my certificate as an end-of-life doula. So I like to write, especially during the time that I was doing my inner works. I journal a lot. I do my morning pages. Yeah, and I always share my insights or my thoughts with my friends. I send them my WhatsApp of what I write. And they say, oh, I think you should one day publish a book. So I kind of feel that they planted the seed in me, actually. So I must say thank you to them. Yeah, and then I think last year, I think the book was finally published. I'm of course very happy that it's published. So I'm right now writing my second book. Yeah, so that's how my journey, like how I become a healer, all these things. And I think it's always in me that I think I sense people suffering, and I hope that I can be there to be a support for someone that's maybe going through a similar journey like me. I hope to be a support for other people, because I receive a lot of support throughout my journey also. Like, you know, there are many teachers around me, psychotherapists, healer. So I thought I want to, in a way, also like give back this thing.
Thank you so much for this very, detailed, insightful, and, introduction, you are very authentic. Your personality is very authentic. And when you tell your stories, like you are very touched by it, what you've been through, and now you are, sharing what you learn with us. You support other people. And we feel this generosity inside you through your introduction. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
So, we saw during your journey is that life brings what you need, not what you want. And and then I wanted to talk to someone about tapping, to interview someone, and it never happened. So then someone recommended you, which happened at the perfect time, because I needed help with a recent issue related to my mom. That's why it's again timing, and I think you were the perfect person to help me with that. And I'm grateful that tapping came this way. So after our session, I integrated intention tapping, because this is what we did together, into my meditation routine. So please explain what is intention tapping.
Sure. By the way, thanks, Stephanie, for trusting me with a session. I'm so glad that you actually integrate tapping in your morning routines. It's really so important and powerful. So intention tapping is actually founded by Steve Well. He's also my teacher. So he's currently in Australia. Yeah, so intention tapping actually there's two parts. So one part is the tapping. The other part is for the clients to repeat a statement with me. Yeah, so intention tapping actually focuses on releasing the grip that you have onto your problem. Because most of the time we are emotionally attached to the issues. Yeah. So by tapping and repeating the statement, like I release all my emotional attachment to certain things, it helps you to release that grip, and you are able to see the situation or the issues that you have in a different perspective, because it kind of moves the energy in you, and then you start to feel the expansion and then the space for you to see the situation in a different light, actually. So most of the time, like, for example, we feel angry or we feel have this anxiety, the emotion tends to start or get trapped in our body. So by tapping, right, it helps to move the energy. And by saying the statement, it actually releases the grip. So once all these things are gone, right, you can actually see the situation in a different light. And you can have the more of the ability to handle it properly. Yeah. Because, for example, we have a belief, a very strong belief and like to how things should be. And then when external things happen and it's not to what our belief is, there's a conflict actually. Yeah. So what we do is through tapping, intention tapping, we actually release that attachment, the emotional attachment to that belief. And once that emotional attachment is dropped, right, you can actually see that situation in a better perspective. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting what you're saying, that it's more about the emotional relationship with the issue rather than really the issue itself.
Yeah, it's the emotional attachment. That's why I always say yeah. I release the emotional attachment to certain yeah. things. So intention tapping also helps to restore the right energy flow to our body. So like certain times I will ask my client to say, like for example, when we're in a session, the energy can move. So sometimes they will feel some pain in the heart. So I will say I restore the right energy flow to the heart. Mm. Yeah. So all this, it can actually help to restore the right energy flow and the balance also.
Mm. Mm. Okay. All right. Thank you yeah. so much. Now I will be touching on something a little bit more personal. And this is something that is part of your journey. It's your relationship with your mother. And you mm-hmm. said in your book, Blossoming, that she was verbally abusive. And you wrote, we had a love-hate relationship that was challenging in multiple ways. So complicated relationship with mothers can have an effect on relationship with romantic partners or our own children, so which create an intergenerational trauma. So the term mommy issues is often used in this case. Can you tell me about your relationship with your mom and how you overcame it?
Okay. Maybe before I start, I need to share a bit about my mom.
Sure, yes. Go ahead.
I think she was born in the 1940s. That was the generation where, you know, women are taught to be, like, to take care of the family and to sacrifice for the family. So, like, the idea of, like, self-care and self-love is probably not in their dictionary. Yeah, so if you do that, you'll be kind of selfish. Yeah, so my mom was the eldest daughter in her family. So she really like do a lot of things and take care of a lot of her family. So when she got married with my father, so she also do a lot of things for our family actually. So you can see that there wasn't much self-care and self-love in her life. It's all about giving and giving. And it's only natural that she feels frustrated and maybe angry. And also because my grandfather was also not a nurturing father, he was quite harsh. So I kind of feel that the harsh word was like being like passed down, like as my mom actually learned it from my grandfather and then she used it on me. So I kind of feel that it's like it passed down. So part of the healing was to understand and to see that this was like a trend that was being passed down. Not a very good trend, but it was being passed down to the family. But I think the first thing that happens to me was I stopped trying to change my mom. Because I actually see that she suffered a lot. You know, like I feel that she should do something else to become a happier person. Like I keep on suggesting that she should do this, she should do that. You know, she should not be like this or she should not be like that. Yeah, so the first thing that happened was I realized that I should not try to change her. Yeah. And that actually starts to, I think that starts to create the shift actually. Yeah. And it's very strange if you look at it. Like when as a child, she was trying to change me to become her, like what I should do as a daughter. So as I grow older and she become, like I start to tell her what she should do. So it's kind of strange actually. Like I kind of repeat the same thing to her also. Yeah. So I realized that I should not do that. But instead of like, of course, at the point of time, I couldn't hold a space for her. Yeah, but the first realization I had was I should not try to change her. Like, yeah, I should just be able to like try to accept who she is and to be able to support her in whatever I can. Yeah. And then, of course, when she was sick in 2015, I think that was like a big, huge healing journey for me and her actually and for our relationship because I was actually very devastated when I knew about her diagnosis. And I also know that she will not have much time. Intuitively, I know that she will not have a lot of time actually. So I kind of like, and like, I really do a lot of things like because she was very sick and I had to take care of her. I'm the main caregiver. And it's through this journey that I had with her for the last 1 year, I actually realized that she loved me a lot. Really a lot. And for me also to realize that I actually love her a lot. Because it was actually very strange. Like I do a lot of things for her. And I it did not click into my mind that I do all this out of love. It was only when my psychotherapist actually pointed out to me that if after all you have done for her, if it's not love, I don't know what it is. Mm. And it suddenly dawned on to me that I love my mom so much. And it's true that throughout the journey where you know there was like a lot of like verbal, like harsh words on me, I've never hit her actually. I feel sad, I feel hurt, but I never hate her. Yeah, because I really love her a lot. Yeah, so it was like something that was very powerful, that love actually can, because there's love, right? That's why they can hold all these things. Because it's the love that contains, if not like I would have stepped out of the house or like, you know, I was like, you know, but because I love her so much and my mom loved me so much too, that we managed to like go through so many years of relationship together. Yeah, and like in even at the last phase of her life, I feel that I still want to take care of her. I still want to do my very best for her. Mm. And that was actually the time that I start to, like, it start to heal actually by knowing that she actually loved me a lot, because I always feel that she don't love me. Mm-hmm. And also to acknowledge that I actually love her a lot too. Mm. So that kind of like shift the, that, how to say it, shift the dynamic between both of us. Mm. Yeah. Mm. So, and then also I feel that after she passed on, the healing actually continued to take place, because as after she passed on, then I started to do my inner work. I was actually doing my inner work. And then it was only that time that I realized that my mom was actually not supported at all. It never crossed my mind, strangely, that like it was so obvious to me, but I didn't see it actually. She don't have support in her life. She don't have friends. Like our family is her only life. And of course her own siblings, but it's not the kind of support that she needs and that somebody can give. So she was not supported. Like she was actually managing a lot of things in her life alone. Yeah, so actually that also came to realize that she has actually done her best.
Mm.
You know, to like, I mean, I cannot expect her to be a different kind of mother when she was not brought up in a nurturing family. She was not given the support that she wants. She's also, like, the love and the support was also lacking in her life. I cannot expect this to come from a mother that doesn't have this. Mm. So it's kind of like understanding this. And I also feel sorry for her, actually, that I wasn't able to see this. It was so obvious, but I couldn't see it when she was around.
Mm.
Yeah. And then I feel that the healing is still going on. But of course, like, I think the major part has already been, like, done. And also, because I learned mediumship, and also through mediumship, right, I also know that my mom is still here in spirit, and she has always given me, like, she's always there for me. And I feel that she definitely wants me to live a different life from her and to be a happy woman and to do whatever that I love, actually. Mm. Yeah. So these are part of, like, it's all, like, I think it's progressive. I wouldn't see that, like, it's something that is healed completely, but I feel that most of the healing has been done. Yeah. So, but of course there will always be impact, because like certain things have been done, there's an impact there. So it's more of like releasing that impact in my life, or to release that emotional attachment that I had with all this memory. And also I think intention tapping helped me to release that emotional attachment to all their sufferings, because like my parents suffer a lot because like they really work very hard. So intention tapping helped me also to heal this thing also. Yeah.
Mm. Mm. I think it's very interesting what you're saying, Angel, because what you are saying about your mom, you know, and even like not asking for help, is something that a lot of women in the world, because you grew up in Singapore, you're from Singapore, and I mean from France, I grew up in France, but this is what women have been through in many different parts of the world. We need to manage, you know, ourselves, take care of the you know, the family. Sometimes it's like being very anxious, being very nervous about everything. Still, we didn't ask, they didn't ask for help. So getting support is something very difficult. But what I want to say is that the interesting part is that it's not because your mom passed away that your healing work didn't stop there. You continue, and it continued after. So it's like almost like the healing needs to take place anyway. Whether we have, you know, we have an issue with someone, it's not because the person is gone that, oh, everything is going to be solved. It's not. You need to make peace inside yourself, no matter what. So I found that is interesting that it's like still there.
Yeah, and it's also, it doesn't like, if somebody have an issue with like their parents and their parents are gone, it doesn't mm-hmm. mean that the healing cannot take place.
Yes.
You can still heal. Yeah. It's not that the person is gone and then like, oh, there's no hope.
Yes.
There's no such thing.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, I also feel that, you know, eventually the spirit, you know, your parents' spirits, or, you know, whether you believe in the reincarnation or not, is there. When you have peace inside, there will be peace outside also. Mm. You know, you send out peace. So you talk right now, you talk about, you know, how intention tapping played a role in your healing journey, and especially, you know, with your parents. So under what circumstances is intention tapping the right modality for someone?
I would say that I won't be able to tell. But it's really important for the client to have an open mind and try the technique, like really open-hearted, try this for a while, yeah, and see if it works for the person.
Mm.
Because I believe that every modality definitely have a plus point and minus point also, because it really depends on individual, like, personality and how this technique actually land on them. Yeah. But as long as you are willing to, like, give it a try, and be open to it, and see for you decide for yourself whether it works for you or not. Mm. It's not for me to decide for you. I would say it's really like, I only ask like for the beginning, like you have an open mind and like try it out and see how it works for you. If it doesn't work, okay, fine, just move on. If it works, then I think you should really continue. Yeah, like for me, it has worked really like very well for me, and like I'm like incorporating into my daily life. And I'm still working with my coach. There's so many things to explore with intention tapping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the next thing is actually about me as a facilitator, like whether I can hold the space for my client. For example, if somebody comes to me with a major issue, like he or she's very traumatized, or like she's in a severe depression, and I know that I cannot hold the space for this person. Yeah, I'm not able to keep this client safe during the session. Then I'll probably ask her to look for like a psychiatrist, or like, you know, somebody who are really more experienced. Yeah. So sometimes it's really not about the technique, but it's really about me as a facilitator or the coach, whether I can hold a space for my client and whether the client is actually open enough to explore this technique. Yeah. So yeah, because if let's say you're talking about like the normal like anxiety, I believe that even if you don't use intention tapping, other technique will still work actually. Yeah. But because intention tapping actually focus on releasing, like to unfold the belief system, like what was the grip that was actually the kind holding on to. And for that, it can actually go very deep. Yeah, and if I know that I'm not able to hold that space for the client, I will have to reject the session actually.
Mm. Yeah. And then from the client perspective also, it's like sometimes it's like something resonates. It's very clear. It's not, you know, it's like your body knows that this is the right direction. Your mind, your intuition knows that we are on the right path, you know? So I think
exactly.
This is also good for us, you know, to really tune into ourselves and then see how we feel about something.
Yeah, so it's actually, like I say, it's not for me to decide for the client whether this is the right modality. I can only ask them to, like, give it a try. Mm-hmm. Like, what you say was really true, because, like, I think when I first worked with my coach, I actually have an issue with what was being said to me. I cannot remember what the person said to me, but something was said to me, and I was so like unhappy. So my coach actually just asked me to tap and say, I release all my emotional attachment to what was being said to me and what it means to me. It's like the statement just makes perfect sense to me. Like suddenly it just clicked to me. It's not about the words that was being said to me. It's my belief of what that thing means to me. So it was very clear to me. But when I work with one of my clients, like she really cannot understand like the statement. Like the statement totally doesn't resonate with her. And she has this like resistance to this. So you're right to say that, you know, it really resonates with different people. For me, it makes absolute sense. Like I know what that statement means to me. But for one of my clients, like I have to really explain to her, you know, like so it's really a bit different. Yeah. So it really depends on individual. There's no perfect technique for everyone, actually.
Yeah, I think you are completely right. There's a slight difference between, all right, something come to us and it's emotional attachment, because I know when I also did my inner work with my therapist, there was something she was saying and it made me upset. And I knew it was because that was something I really need to work on, like this particular aspect. But I knew that doing this work with her was the right thing for me to do. Even though it was difficult, there was something that, you know, resonated. And I was like, okay, I need to overcome this. I need to get through this. You know, it's fine. I'm on the right path. Absolutely. Yeah. During our first conversation, you told me about your book, Blossoming, and it was public very recently, just only last year. And when it came into the conversation, you say, yes, it's just a little book that I wrote. It's very short. And I say, okay, that's fine. I'm just going to read it and I'm going to, order it, read it, and, you know, see what is this about. And when I started to read the book, I was like, oh my gosh, this little book is so powerful. And it's really like a journey with you. You share so much wisdom, so much depth, so much love, so much positivity, and so much about yourself, a little bit like your introduction. And yet, you know, in this book, I realized that there is a little bit of me. I recognize myself in there. So I love the fact that at the end of each chapter, there is a profound question. So there is one that I selected I really like. It resonated with me. And it says, when was the last time you reviewed your life? Are you ready to release the old contract and write a new one? There is no one to stop you but yourself. I just love it. And I don't know, there's something, you know, inside me. I was like, wow, it's so powerful. So what was your intention with this book? I'm excited to announce two upcoming webinars as part of our expert talk series. In October, we have Morning Rituals, Cultivating Habits for Long-Term Transformation, where we'll dive into creating powerful morning habits to set the tone for your day and long-term success. Then in November, we explore tapping into the vibrational energy of 2025, a transformative session to help you harness the energy of the upcoming year and align with your goals. These events are designed to empower you with tools for lasting change. Don't miss out. Visit ujivati.com to learn more and sign up today.
I think the intention was like, I wanted to share my story so that people know that they are not alone. Sometimes when you're going through certain sufferings, right, you think that you are the only person on earth that is going through this. But by sharing my story, I just want to let other people know that, you know, we are going through this journey together. See, we have different experience, but like the emotions that we went through, like fear, self-doubt, you know, self-hate, all these kind of things, it's really like in most of us, I would say. Yeah. So it's more of to let them know that you're not alone, actually. So this was like my first intention. And then the second intention was, of course, I hope to, through this book, right, it can help to inspire somebody or like to, like for yourself, like you think a bit deeper. Yeah. So I feel that my purpose has been fulfilled. Like when you read the question, suddenly you start to reflect, oh, well, when was the last time I reflect my life? Like, you know, is there like, who is holding me back except myself, that kind of things. So this was my intention, actually. Yeah. And of course, the last intention was, I actually hope to find like my community or my tribe through the books, because like some people, they can resonate with my book. Some cannot, totally like cannot understand. It's okay, I'm not judging, but I just know that when people resonate with the book, I kind of know that we are in the same vibe actually, because you can understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
So, and that was like maybe the intention that I have when I wrote the book actually. But what I didn't realize was after the book was published, that I realized that this book is also for me. Mm. Like when it's published, like I hold a hard copy, it's for me to honor my own journey actually. So it's like, it feels very like, I feel very touched by myself. I feel very moved by myself that I make it come true actually. It was a seed that was planted, but I kind of like make it happen actually. Mm. And it was actually a journey. Of course, it's not a full like write-out of my entire journey, but it kind of like, it really has these like major things in this book actually. Mm. So I feel that the book was also to honor myself, which was not my initial intention. My initial intention was to like let other people know that they are not alone, to inspire and to also find my tribe. Yeah, but what came was like something also very nurturing and empowering to me.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it's like a full circle. You give mm. out and then it comes back to you as something that also has value to yourself, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Full circle. Okay, beautiful. So, Angel, do you have the book with you? And can you show us the cover? And also, because I have my version on Kindle. Yes, that's the book, Blossoming. And can you read the poem, The Seeker? I really like this poem.
Oh, sure. Hey, The Seeker, I have searched and searched endlessly for spirituality, for sacredness, for worth, for success, for love, for recognition, for me, for every elusive thing on this earth. The wise ones say we did not roam, for we are everything we seek. We are the universe. We are the light. There's no need to seek outside. Yet I mistook success for my identity and wealth as my measure of prosperity. Belief imposed on my femininity dictated my worth and life destiny. My self-esteem hinged on others' view, validation soaked from their praises and cues. I serve others to feel good enough without realizing I lost myself in the rough. Finally, I arrive to this ordinary human life and see its beauty in a different light. There is sacredness to be found in the everyday sights and sounds. Spirituality in each breath. Love that transcends life and death. Success and abundance without the pressure. Recognition and self-worth in equal measure. I am just me, living this ordinary life, seeking sacredness in each day and night. My every presence is a blessing, pure and true. In this world, I am enough, and so are you.
Mm, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
I really love it. I will put the poem, full poem, in the show notes. It's very beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for that. Now I would like to ask you a question. About, we are going back to tapping, and I know that it happened to me, and that's something that, you know, I was a bit confused about, the difference between EFT tapping and intention tapping. And, you know, with the word intention, I thought, can this intention has something also particular about, you know, in self, like bringing something attracting something to us? Can you tell mm-hmm. us?
Okay, I will do my best to explain the difference. Okay, so for EFT and intention tapping, or we call it IEP, the similar things is actually on the tapping. So the points are similar because all these are acupuncture points in our body. So the tapping points are similar. Now, one of the difference is actually in the statement. So for EFT, right? We say statements like, even though I'm feeling unloved, for example, even though I'm feeling unloved, I soothe and comfort myself.
Mm-hmm.
So this is actually the more common statement that EFT use. Or even though I'm feeling anxiety, I still love myself. Like these are the common statement used in EFT.
Mm-hmm.
But for intention tapping, we don't use this statement. So we focus on, like I say, we release the grip to the problem. So we say that we release the emotional attachment to certain things. Like, for example, I'm feeling a bit nervous with this podcast. So because I have certain emotional attachment to how I should talk and how should I behave, or like what should be the outcome be. So like before the things start, I would say I release all my emotional attachment to the outcome of this podcast, or I release my emotional attachment to this podcast. So you realize that the statement is totally different. So because in intention tapping, right, we really focus on like what is gripping me. What is gripping me and causing me to be nervous is because I have this expectation of how I should behave, or how I should talk in this podcast, and how this thing is going to be viewed by people, you know, all these kind of things. So that was this thing that is coding me. But if I release all this emotional attachment, it doesn't matter anymore. I kind of enjoy the process. So this is one of the main difference. The statement is very different. And for intention tapping, right, we actually focus on, once I say the statement, right, I think you had a session before. So once you say the statement, I kind of ask you, what is happening right now? Or what are you noticing? So I just allow the energy to bring you to where it is. And then I start to, from there, I actually guide you along. So there's no there's no track that I can follow. So it's really about you. And most of the time, after you release all your emotional attachment to the things that I ask you to release, you kind of unfold your own belief. You kind of know, you as the client actually know what was the belief that you're holding. I'm just there to first. I don't have to be the investigator. I don't have to try to find out what was your belief. But more of through this thing, right, it kind of unfold it by itself. So this is actually the main difference between EFT and intention tapping. So it's quite common for when do tapping, people thought it's EFT, because the EFT is the very commonly known. So intention tapping is actually a bit different, because it's really the approach is, it really works very differently actually.
Okay.
It really go down to your belief system and to release that belief system.
Okay. Thank you so much for bringing clarity on that.
I'm clear.
Yes, absolutely. We talk so many times about support and not feeling by ourselves during this podcast. So this is for our listeners. If you found this episode interesting, or if it resonated with you, I invite you to explore our community and discover how it can support and enhance your personal wellness journey through our membership. So you can visit ujivati.com for that. So now we're going to tap onto the last question that I have for you. And this is a question that I love, love, love to ask my my guests. It's about your daily practice. So can you tell us, what is your daily practice in your life?
Okay, so every morning I will actually offer lights and incense, and I will say a short prayers. So basically it's to thank spirit for another day. I'm grateful and I'll move on. And I also ask for blessing and protection and guidance throughout the day. I will do my Reiki and my breath work meditation. As much as I can. Because these two are very important, because it really bring me back to the practice itself helped me to connect to myself before I start my day. It's bring back to myself first before I start my day. And then for intention tapping, I will tap throughout the day, in a bus, in a train, I will do tapping. Sometimes you have time, I go my morning or evening walk, I will also tap. So intention tapping is something that is so useful, because it's so easy to be integrated. You just have to tap. These are the few things that I do every day. And at night, before I sleep, I always say thank you also for the day. And I ask spirit to release the day for me. And sometimes if I feel that there was so much things that happened in the day, I'm a bit affected, I also do tapping and I say to myself, I release all my emotional attachment to whatever that happened today.
Mm.
Yeah, so I do that actually. So sometimes I also incorporate like tapping in a train. I actually say things like, I release all my emotional attachment to what will happen today. Like in the morning, I say a statement and at night I say a statement. Because in a train, I was just tap and then I would say this statement to myself. Yeah. Mm. So these are the things that I do. And of course, when there's more time, I will journal. Yeah. So I feel that all this practice, it's not just going through the motion, but I think the intention is to bring back, to connect back to myself and to connect to a spirit. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and also, yeah, I feel that that's the purpose of the morning rituals and the routines actually.
Mm. The routine or your practice doesn't have to be something very, like difficult. Like, for example, right before we started this interview, you told me, oh, I'm tapping, you know, and I didn't realize it, you know. So it's something that to you, it's you integrate very easily in your life. And you say on the bus or something like that, it really comes as part of you know, your life without making it, you know, very difficult to achieve. This is what I feel, right?
Yeah, and I think I also forgot to mention something earlier, like in the regular tapping, especially when you're not triggered, like I'm just in the train and doing nothing. Mm-hmm. It's so important. And that's why you mentioned earlier that you incorporate this thing into your daily practice, like morning routine is so important because it helps to build out your emotional muscle. That means like your emotional resilience, so that when the things come right, you will realize that you actually are able to respond differently.
Mm.
And it's really through my experience because I've been doing this since 2022 till now. I could really see the change in my response.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So because it has worked for me, and that's why I always like stress this to my client, please tap regularly.
Yeah.
Of course, initially you need a bit of like habit because it's not something that you do before having a session with me. But after a while, you kind of, the body remember. Like sometimes I'm just like so amazed with myself. I was standing at the traffic light and then I realized I started tapping. Because like there's nothing to do. And also when you're triggered, right, you automatically will tap your fingers.
Mm.
Because you already know, and it's very useful because when you're very angry, you know, like whatever theory, like whatever knowledge that you have, right, it may not work at that point of time because you are angry or you are triggered. But by just tapping, right, and not saying anything, but just feeling into what you're feeling, you will start to feel that the energy starts to move actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you have more space to handle the things differently.
Mm. This is really something that we emphasize, and you know, within my community, the membership, is that these little things that you're gonna do every day, your daily practice, has such a long term impact on your mm-hmm. life. The fact that with these daily habits, you're gonna be, you know, when you feel you're gonna be triggered, or you're gonna respond when you are triggered in a different ways. So it's mm-hmm. really changed. You know, yourself, your response, and you feel, you know, much better, maybe happier, calmer, because you've done that, because you've done this this practice.
Mm. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Angel, for this insightful, this intimate, this very powerful interview. Thank you for sharing all this with me and with us.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. Thank you for inviting me. I'm so grateful too. Thank you.
It was my pleasure. Bye-bye.
You can learn more about Angel on Instagram at Angel_Eshen, on Facebook at Angel Eng, and via email at angeleng.peony@gmail.com. If you didn't have time to write everything down, or if you have any doubt regarding spelling, no worries. All the links are listed in the show notes. If you are curious about the Ojivati community, check out our website at ujivati.com. Thank you to all our listeners and see you very soon from on healing, self-love, and your personal journey.
Thank you for listening and for taking time for yourself. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, share this episode with others on social media, or leave a rating and a review. To catch the latest from Ujivati, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter @Ujivati. Thanks again and see you on the next episode.